What's so great about?
Hello and welcome to What's So Great About, the podcast that is willing to strap his co-host to a chair and dangle him outside of a plane.
Your what?
In order to make sure that he thinks Paul Thomas Anderson is a good director. My name's Terry.
My name's Andy.
Andy, how the bloody hell are you?
Very, very well. And you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it.
Great to see you.
And you, Terry. You're kind of stealing my look there, to be honest with you.
I thought it'd be funny.
We've both had haircuts.
Yes.
And we both are now wearing glasses.
Yeah, I mean, I might take mine off, to be honest. I don't need them unless I'm using a screen.
Do you wear them at work all the time?
Yeah, if I'm like I forgot them. I was in over Christmas one day and I forgot them because I use them when I'm like recording stuff at home so I can see the screen better. And I was like, I sat down in front of the two screens and I was like, uh-oh. Today's gonna be weird. Like, just looking at, it just didn't seem right. Like, I can still see it fine, but it just seems like something is off. Like,
so people in your work would say, "Oh yeah, Terry, the guy with the glasses."
No, because I've only started wearing them last year.
New people, though.
Yeah, okay.
Give me that.
Let me say, Terry, the guy who got his hair cut.
Of course.
Yeah.
Why'd you get it done, Terry?
Hey, easy.
Why'd you get it done, Terry?
It was time. Wasn't it time?
Yeah, no. Well, see, this is a pet peeve of mine because I hate when people who don't have the balls to grow their hair long themselves are like...
Mine was long for a good year.
No, not you. No. But I'm just mean people who don't have the balls to say to grow their hair. And then when you cut your long hair, they're like, oh man, what are you doing? It's like, you don't know what it's like.
You a beautiful man.
Yeah.
So you're not by yourself there.
Well, see, I don't have the hairline for it. You at least, if you choose to, can grow long hair.
I go for it sometimes. Look
good. I get to a stage where I'm like, I think it looks good. Like, yeah, okay, it looks all right. And then one day I just wake up and I'm like, get this fucking hair off my head. And that's all I'm thinking about all day. Like, when can I schedule in that haircut?
Like, that's kind of what I was like. I was like, I'd be going into work and like, I'd be like, combing my hair. And then like, it might be blowing down in my face or something. And I'm like, fucking, you know, and then like, especially if I like hadn't shaved, it looked really fucking rough. Like, you know, it's like stubble here, underneath here, long hair.
Yeah,
it's all kind of going. And like, Faye was particularly fed up with it. Like, when are you getting a cut? I'm like, well, I can't find any time. You know, my schedule is jam packed.
Yeah, you see, it's funny the difference because like, Kerry wanted me to cut my hair. She wanted me to shave it, actually.
Completely?
Yeah, she loves the shaved.
But, like, when you say shaved, you mean, like, raw? Like,
yeah,
raw,
all
like,
over. Like, nothing on top. You know what I mean? Not, like, bald, like...
Apparently, it's very hard to go, like, to, like, shave your head bald.
Yeah, you'd have to do a whole, like, thing. Shave and all that. But the thing is, like, she loves it. She would have the beard longer if she could. Mm. Now, personally, I made a video during Christmas where I'm just in my car and so it's real close up and I'm like, fucking all I'm just seeing is like scraggly hairs everywhere. But I've tried the shaved head look two times.
I was at
Gary's wedding and I was at a wedding about a year before, and both times I was like freshly shaved and I look about 50 years old. I had a bigger belly. I probably had a bigger belly then than I do now, if I may say. Yeah. But still, it was out there. And then the fucking shaved head, and I'm like, who is this guy? This isn't me. Even if I look worse with long hair, I'm like, well, that's at least me. You know?
It's like, I've got the eyeliner, I've got the nail polish. You know, that's me. This is what you get. Nice to meet you.
I like me.
Yeah. So... You know, we're not going to talk about our Christmas.
We're not?
No. Saving that for the Patreon. Okay. So if you want to know about our Christmas vacation.
Coveted information. Yeah. You got to pay for that.
Hey, man. But I sent you on something.
Yeah.
This morning.
Yeah, sure did. I knew it was coming.
Yesterday is the best day of the year.
Do you know what? I seen your tweet, because people who don't know what we're talking about, Terry, as he's spoken about on the pod before, there's an edit that comes out every year of like the best movies of that year, set to a few tunes.
It's David Ehrlich, who is a film critic for IndieWire. I listen to his podcast as well. And he does these, it's his top 25 of the year.
Right.
But he edits them in such a way with music. He only chooses songs that was in movies that year.
Okay.
So, and there's a particular reason for each choice of the song, and he edited them together. So,
That was a good edit.
Brilliantly. Like, it is masterful, yeah. I think.
I thought when I seen it, I thought, good for Terry.
Yeah. He's been waiting all year.
He loves them.
Yeah.
And then I thought, oh, fuck, he's going to make me watch something to do. Now, luckily, it was only just the first.
Oh, they just said all you needed. You didn't go any further, no?
You told me to watch the start. I watched the start.
You know, watch the introduction.
It's 18 minutes long.
Yeah, I mean, what else are you going to be doing with your extra 15 minutes?
Well, I'll actually tell you about that later, but...
we're only back. Like, I'm dreading.
Look, can I... No, you know what? I'm going to wait. I'll wait. Okay.
I'm going to lose it. I will lose it if this is what
No. It's not. You will be impressed with how the efforts I went through, I think.
This is bullshit.
This is bullshit.
This is fucking bullshit, man. You had all Christmas.
I'm just going to tell you now, right? Yeah. Okay, here's the deal. With Mission Impossible 3.
Yeah.
Okay. I, as you know, hadn't watched it up until yesterday.
Yeah.
And I put it on.
Mm-hmm.
I was starting to watch it. Fucking, well, I'll get to it, but I was like, with the intro. Then, kids. Okay? Now, here, it's my fault for leaving it so late. However, Milo started crying. I was like, fine. That was done in about an hour. And I kind of, then Joni got up and she was up. I was up with her for about another 45 minutes. And... it was very late at that time, and I thought, fuck. So what I've done in the meantime is I have watched as much as possible.
Where did you get to?
Okay. I've watched... Okay. Now, just bear with me. First of all, it was very hard to find a good stream, because it wasn't on fucking Channel 4. It was on... It's there, and they're like, nope. And then I tried Prime. I heard it was
not on Prime.
It's on a fucking Prime either.
You gotta find your stream or your torrent or whatever you do.
I couldn't open it up in work because it keeps popping up all these sex pop-ups. And I couldn't have them on the screen. So I watched about 45 minutes worth of the best scenes from the movie. And that's... I hold my hands up, but that's all I could do. And you know what? I'm devastated. I'm just as devastated as
no,
you.
No, you're not.
I'm just as devastated as you, because it would look fucking brilliant as well. But I gotta hold my hands up. I know. Yeah.
Unreal.
I'm just as annoyed as you.
No,
you
you're not. No, you're not. You couldn't possibly be as annoyed as me. You couldn't possibly be as annoyed as me right now.
I tell you what, I'm annoyed at the fact that I didn't get to see it in full. Because
you should be,
you know,
you've had one. You messaged me.
I know.
You messaged me in Christmas, being like, "Oh man, I can't wait to watch this." I was asking for more cruise movies.
Yeah, I love it. I genuinely over Christmas was missing, and I've never said that before about a podcast, that I was missing watching an episode for the podcast.
Andy, you're...
Let's just riff today.
You're a frustrating man.
Let's just riff today.
No, we're doing the episode.
Okay, great.
We're doing the episode.
I've seen enough that I can talk very intelligently about it.
We'll see. Yeah, yeah.
And I also looked at the plot as well.
Okay, all right, okay.
So,
you Wikipedia'd.
Yeah, well.
Anyway, the reason why I asked you to watch the 25 movies super edit is I had an epiphany when I was watching it.
Go on.
The opening song is... Celine Dion, It's All Coming Back
Banger.
To Me. Is it the best song ever made? Ever?
I mean, like, no, but it's really good.
Like, I felt like I discovered a new language or something when I was listening to it.
Yeah,
like, I was like, what is going on? I remember as a kid being like, oh yeah, Celine Dion. And I listened to it on the headphones. And like, even the start where it's like, you know, like,
and I thought when I started, I was like, is this Celine Dion?
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh.
And it's like, just her hearing her voice.
The days when the nights were so cold.
I was like,
cold.
Oh man. Look at my arms. Like,
yeah.
Look at the hairs.
Is that because I sang it there?
No, it's because I'm thinking of her.
It's, you know, I remember thinking at the time when it came out in the 90s. I remember loving it even then.
I didn't.
And the video was quite like meatloafy. It was quite...
It's totally meatloaf.
It's very,
like,
Jim Steinman
sort
of song, isn't it?
Like, oh.
I wonder if he wrote it.
Very possible. Give it an old
fucking Google that now.
I just, when I was watching it, I was like, I knew, obviously the movie clips certainly help. You know what I mean? But like, I've been listening to it, like I've listened to it 3 times since yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and it's 7 minutes long or whatever. It's not a short tune.
Yeah, yeah.
I've just been like, put it on again. You know, I think I'm...
So you watched the whole thing?
No, I've watched the whole thing like 3 times, yeah.
Okay.
But listening to Celine Dion, you know, it's a 7 minute song.
Jim Steinman wrote it.
Is it? Yeah.
Fucking knew it. Yeah.
And then later on in the video, there is Bonnie Turner holding out for a hero.
Is it Turner?
Is it Tyler?
Tyler, I think.
Is it?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah, but so. Holding out for a hero, I'm like, is that the best song ever?
Is Jim Steinman the best songwriter?
Is he? He wrote that too. Oh my God!
Like, is Jim Steinman the greatest songwriter of our time?
Whenever I hear that song, I'm like I was listening to it today and I was like waiting in line in the shops and I was like, I feel like I need to like knock these people out of the way. And I have felt this way since I've been a child. Like every time, it's used at the climax of Short Circuit 2.
Yes.
And I remember, like, when I was 8, I was like, what is this feeling? And, like, him, like, flying down the docks or whatever, like, I'm like, this feeling that has overcome me of, like, I'm a superhero or something. Yeah. And listen to it. Even there's, like, the crappy, it's okay, Brad Pitt movie, Bullet Train.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, that.
I think you said that was all right.
It's okay. It's like a 3-star.
You've soured a bit on it.
I've seen it. I went to see it in the cinema and enjoyed it because I was in the cinema with my dad watching it.
That's it.
And then it was like, I've seen it on TV since and I'm like, yeah, it's okay. But like the Bonnie Tyler bit, like, and it's a Japanese version of it. And I'm like, every time I hear it, I'm like, man, let's fucking go. Let's do it. I'm going to put it on my running playlist, actually. Yeah. Like, that'll be a song to play before you're going out onto the pitch.
What's the song that when you're running that you like, you're like, all right, I'm done. And then like, just as you're finishing, a song comes on. Like,
I have a couple.
Well, I've got to fucking go now.
Curtis Mayfield, Move On Up.
Ooh.
So when you're like, okay. And then you just hear like, boom, boom. Da-da-da-da. You're like, oh, let's go.
Your body's moving before your brain
hey,
even
what's
knows.
What's going on here?
What are we doing here?
Legs?
Just trust me on this.
Okay.
In the water. Legs? Don't worry about it.
There's nothing left. The sonic air bubble. There's that one. There is my patented... Killers, you know, all
so, but yeah.
Like it, that's the one you start out as like, or if it comes on and you're jogging,
yeah,
you can't, in my opinion anyway, you can't stop.
Yeah, but the problem with that one is that it doesn't kick in until about 2 minutes. You know what I mean? So I don't feel like that would get, I personally don't feel like that would give you the, oh, I gotta get up and go, it because kinda, you got 2 minutes
like,
of
you're,
lead
you're
up.
Like you're tired and then it's like you hear that like bling. You're like, oh, okay. And then I'm going to
take a rest and then I'm going to bomb it at the
well,
dum, 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 dum,
kind
dum, dum,
of, but like, you're always like, I can't turn it off now. So I'll just keep going till the crescendo. Because like, even that, yeah. Like, you're like, if anything, I'm like taking like longer steps when yeah, that is yeah. Like, and then like, when it gets to, I got so, like, you're actually doing the Tom Cruise run. Yeah. I remember like being on the treadmill in the gym and like, having it like blaring in my headphones and like whatever, like 18 on the fucking, like yeah. Too fast, you know, like if I
yeah,
fall
yeah.
I'm
yeah,
dead,
I'm gonna make a fool of myself.
Like, well, I'm like
18, that is fast.
Whatever it was, like I think, like when I was 18. At my fittest, it was like 13 was like my average, and then like you'd bob it up to like 17 or whatever, yeah. 18, but like, like, and you can hear like the thump thump
yeah.
Thump thump, and like
the
whole
team
are like, well,
yeah.
What's this
dump,
guy
dump, 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 dump,
yeah.
Dump,
yeah.
Yeah.
But it's also like, if I stop I will injure myself,
yeah.
Like
and one slip of the foot,
yeah,
doomed,
yeah. You know, I got like a National Express as well, that's on my running playlist, like
that get you going?
If you hear that, like, you're like, all right. Okay, a big smile. Anything that makes me smile a lot. Or like
a feel-good
anything
song.
That gives me a feeling, that makes me not be dead inside.
Yeah, of course. Well, we're all craving that.
Of course.
I used to have, as cliched as it is, the going the distance.
Cake?
No. And by the way, Terry, you were in my car once. You played a Cake song once. And now, all in my fucking pop punk playlist, every shuffle's like, reluctantly crouched. And I'm like, fuck off this fucking song. One time I played it, I can't shift it in my shuffle.
Why is it in there? I didn't add it to your playlist.
No, but it's just, it's like, he must like this. And they sort of like, he was putting it in my shuffle. And I'm like, fuck off. One time it was played.
It's so good though. Like.
It's just like, I don't know this. I just keep, I'm sure it's great. Like, but I just, like, next.
What's the other one? Going the Distance.
Going the Distance is like, it's all instrumental, like Rocky, but it's like,
it's not like the rock.
You know, like
The actual,
the instrumental one.
Like, it's not like. Like, you ever seen a Rocky movie?
As cliche, no, I haven't actually.
Great. Yeah. I don't think we would, if we were to do, we'd do Stallone more than we would do Rocky.
Yeah, you know, I haven't seen Rambo. I haven't seen Rocky.
First of all, well, let me stop you right there, Slick.
Yeah,
it's called First Blood. If you're talking about the original,
it's just called First Blood.
Yeah,
it's not called Rambo First Blood.
Nope,
it's not just called Rambo.
It's no Rambo is four. So the first one is First Blood.
It's just called First Blood.
And he's John Rambo. And then it's like number two is like Rambo First Blood Part 2. And then it's Rambo 3. And then 4 is Rambo. And then 5 is...
3 is Rambo 3 and 4 is Rambo.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I just want to get that clear. Yeah.
And then 5 is Last Blood, I think.
It's 5 of them.
Yeah.
Fuck. I assume they're all dog shit after 2, are they? Or?
Well, 1 is brilliant. 1 is like absolutely brilliant because it's like this post-Vietnam, the whole thing. He says, Pete. And then like 2 is like, we need you to go back, Rambo. And it's like, roided up, like,
right,
killing. Like, the whole thing in the first one's like, he doesn't want anybody to be near him. Like, the whole thing is he ends up in this small town, and the police are dicks to him.
Yeah, I saw a clip of that. Yeah.
And then the second one is like, they send him overseas to kill everyone. It's like, you took no lessons from the first movie. Like,
you've learned nothing, John Rambo.
And he wrote them all, I think.
Did he?
Yeah.
He was quite prolific back in the 70s,
80s? Yeah, like, Rocky is 80, I think, or like, no. Rocky is 70.
Yeah, there's
70.
A bunch of Rockies as well.
There's 6, and then 3 Creeds, and he's in 2 of the Creeds, and he wrote 1 of them, I think.
And he doesn't write anymore, does he? Or apart from the
Creed. He wrote Creed 2, and then they didn't bring him back for Creed 3, and he wrote like a really like, Erwin Winkler, you screwed me out of this. Like, he's the producer and all, like... so he's pretty bitter about
I've
it.
I've never
like.
Heard a more Jewish name than Erwin Winkler.
I have a book about this guy. Yeah. He like worked with Scorsese on like all his big hits and all. Like, I think he did The Irishman with him. I don't know if he did Killers of the Flower Moon, but like,
is he supposed to be a good?
He's like
writer.
Director? He's a producer. Yes, right. He directed The Net, 1995. Yeah.
Is that his only directing credit?
And he's got a couple, but like that's his biggest one. And but like he's worked with Robert De Niro a bunch of times. Ah. Like I love reading a book and they refer to somebody like Bob.
Bob, yeah. He's just known as Bob to his friends. And to you and me.
He's like me and Bob, you know, we got together for this picture. And when they call it a picture as well, rather than a movie, like, you know.
Do you know, hang on, let me just check the old thing. Great. yeah, it still works. I was watching some stuff.
Oh yeah.
Not movies. Please. I seen there was a new stand-up special on Christmas Day. I didn't watch on Christmas Day. I watched on Stephen's Day, Ricky Gervais's one. Now,
I saw the clip.
Do you know what my problem is with it? Because, like, I keep going back to Ricky Gervais because, like, I loved his stuff 20 years ago. And it really shaped my general sense of humor and what I find funny. Like, that style. of comedy. So I'm always like, and I love the podcast, I love the Ricky Gervais show and all that sort of stuff. But like, it's like he's found this niche now of like, it's
they
like,
all have.
It's like unfiltered. I'm unfiltered. And it's like I've seen already some of the stuff that he said been put on Twitter and like, oh, can you believe this and can you believe that? And like, that stuff doesn't bother me at all. Like, some stuff I agree with and some stuff I don't agree with that he says. But it's just, my problem is that I'm just not laughing. Like, it's just
funny.
It's the equivalent, like, any trans sort of jokes now, it's like Donald Trump jokes from 2017 or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's just boring. Like, it's kind of, at least, unless you find an absolutely insane angle, you know, like, it's just, it's, the topic just, I'm like, oh, seriously?
I don't know, like, at least with the Trump stuff, especially like on a podcast or something, if somebody slips into a Trump impression that when they're talking about a completely different topic.
I think if it's done well, I think if a joke is done well,
but like, if it was stand-up, the topic is Donald Trump. Mm. Now, whatever, yeah. 6 years, 7 years after the fact, I'm like, okay.
It's just, and like, it's kind of like, it's lot, like his last two or three specials of, you couldn't even separate them.
You said to me when Fame came out, you're like, you turned on him then, like, stand-up wise.
And like, I keep going back, so I'm like, oh, it's a new like thing. I do laugh a little bit, but it's just
like, did you see, so there's that one there.
Yeah. What's it called? That one's Armageddon.
And the joke, the big one that was doing the rounds that everybody was like, oh, what a fucking piece of shit, like, was the whole thing about the migrants.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, like, it's a bad joke, and it's not, it's like full of hate. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, it's not funny.
That, do you know what?
It's that's, not clever.
That's literally where it goes, where it ends for me. If I'm watching a stand-up, I'm like, is it funny?
Mm.
And like, it, like, I do agree, I suppose, that like, you can, I don't think many things should be completely off limits, but it's not, but it's just be funny, you know what I mean? Like,
I think inciting hate is kind of off limits. Like, whereas, like, you can make fun of something.
Yeah.
Like, Don Rickles was the perfect example of like, making fun of somebody or like, poking fun, because you're punching down. You're not punching down at minority. We talked about it with Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
You're not punching down at minorities. You're picking on them.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know. Oh no, sorry. You should be you shouldn't be punching down. You should be punching up. Sorry, I'm getting all.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But like, you should be taking, you know, Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Like, or something like that. You know. Yeah. Exactly. Right? You know. Yeah. George Carlin was the best at it. You know.
Yeah.
He would, you know, talk about the government and religion and stuff like that. And these are the establishments that I think, yes, perfect targets to be made fun of.
Yeah.
People who are suffering enough in their own life.
Yeah.
That like, well, I'm going to make fun of them because of what?
Yeah.
You know, like,
it's like, you know, it's like Jim Davidson.
Yeah.
You know, like that sort. And he even said himself in a stand-up, he's like, but in a Ricky Gervais stand-up before, he's like, I've got to be careful here. He's like, one false move and I'm Jim Davidson. And it's like, that's kind of what it's going to. Like, but I have to say, maybe it's just because, again, maybe because I'm dead inside, but like, I don't look, it doesn't register at me. I'm like, oh, that's poor taste. I'm just kind of like, he's trying to make me laugh. Did it work? No. And it's kind of like I seen, like, did you see
Jimmy Carr?
No.
He
never really makes me laugh though.
But like, his whole thing was like, I'm going to be so outrageous, you can't say this. And it's like the tamest.
Really?
And like there's like titters.
But that's like, sort of like outrageous shock comedy. I just think it's just, it's lazy is what. Yeah. It's lazy comedy.
It is like.
And like, I don't know if you've seen any of the Cat Williams stuff that's come out this week.
Yeah.
And I started watching it. Like,
bonkers.
I only know like half the people he's talking about. But like, I've never seen such a like unhinged. Like,
he's an accused sex pest as well, Cat Williams.
He's a what?
Accused sex pest, yeah.
Of course.
Because he was gone off TV. Remember, like, he was like everywhere.
Yeah, well.
And he was on like Wild and Out all the time.
Oh, yeah.
He was a big presence. And then it was like somebody was like, this guy's a piece of shit. He tried to do this, that, and the other to me. Then he was gone.
He failed to mention that on the thing, didn't he?
Of course he did. And your man, fucking Shannon Sharp, failed to like press him on it.
Yeah,
like,
I know. I've seen, like, I was scrolling through TikTok on my Lion day, and it was just full of Cat Williams stuff. So, like, I watched the actual interview, but, like, I don't really know what's going on. Like, you know, it's just watching a man like just be totally unhinged. Yeah. I was still captivated. I couldn't turn it off, but I'm like, I don't even know who he's talking about.
He speaks very well, you know what I mean?
Like he doesn't stutter once. Like so it just seems
he had an answer for everything. Yeah, you push back on him, he's like, what?
Yeah.
You know?
But
is he entertaining? Yeah, you know, he has 4 comedy specials
on Netflix or Tubi, you know? And all this sort of stuff. But he's like, I seen one. He's like, the first meme of 2024 just dropped, and he was just like, he's like talking to Shannon, and he's like, "You have an unnatural affinity for losers." I see so many things that could be used in, but you know what? I'll tell you one more thing. I've gotten into very quickly.
Mm. Now, gotten into has you got my attention.
I've gotten back into a game on the Switch.
Oh,
it's a very relaxing game.
Animal Crossing?
You fucking know it, Terry. Yeah. Now let me tell you the difference this time. And just indulge. I'm playing on my fucking island. We have 2 Switches. Both Switches have Animal Crossing on them, so I no longer have to share my island with my child. I've got my own island. It's called Utopia. Okay, now. I know this doesn't matter to anyone.
So basic.
I know. And guess what my character's name is?
Andy Rock.
You better believe it.
Andy Rockstar.
Just Andy. But as of yesterday, this is very exciting news in my house. I have finally got my island to a 3-star rating. And I don't have to tell you what that means.
You do. I have no idea.
Paths. I can lay down paths now on my island. It's not just grass anymore. I can actually get a structured little utopia.
What's the game?
There is no game. The game is life. You just go around.
This is life.
You just go around.
This is life.
I got enough of that going on in my real world. You just go fishing, whatever. You just do up the island, make it look nice. But I remember you talking about, like, you know, when you were playing Zelda Breath of the Wild, and it's like, it's nice to be just out.
Yeah, but I'm doing something. I'm killing stuff.
I'm doing stuff. No, I'm not killing things. Yeah. This is it's Nintendo.
Look at you. I'm too good to kill things.
No, I'm not too good to kill. I love killing things. But in this particular game.
Say that again.
In this particular game, I'm finding it incredibly peaceful. And I just want to. I have to talk at you about it. Because no one else will talk to me about it.
Get it out, big
So it's very exciting. I've got paths. I can now change the cliffs. I can change the shape of the rivers. This is a big move in the last.
How do you get to 3 stars?
Great question. You have to get a certain amount of villagers to your island. You have to sell land to get the villagers.
Who are the villagers? NPCs or are they
NPCs,
real people?
Yeah. Okay. Joni's like, oh, you got that villager. I want that villager. Or it's like, oh no, I hate that villager. I'm like, it's all. I'm like, everyone's welcome on Utopia. You got to clear the weeds. You got to put decorations
like
around.
5 years time, you're gonna have like bought a pact of land. Like everybody's welcome on Utopia. Like local Arklo man building militia. You're all welcome. It's like RTE. Like, sorry, Mr. Cantwell. Andy.
Please.
Yeah.
Mr. Cantwell is my dead. You've dead named me. Anyway, I'm really into it. And I can't wait to play it later. But that's all I'm going to say.
Nice.
Can we.
I tell you who else was looking for a peaceful life.
Oh, please.
One Ethan Hunt when he retired from the IMF. Cue the music.
Who are you? You have a wife, girlfriend? Whoever she is, I'm going to find her. And then I'm going to kill you right in front of her.
That was a trailer for 2006's Mission Impossible 3, directed by J.J. Abrams. His first.
J.J. Abrams?
Yeah, well, you'd know if you watched the movie, Andy.
Ah. Yeah.
His first movie. His directorial debut, and we'll get into it with my dossier of facts. I got like 5 pages worth of notes on
great.
This.
Great. Yeah. Fill what I didn't see.
Can I guess the budget?
I am going to say 2006, a cool 110 million.
150.
Fuck. 150.
Yeah.
Jeez.
You'll see why in a little more.
Okay.
Box office opening.
65 million.
47.
Fuck. Let me finish the answer.
Domestic total?
110.
134. Worldwide.
Okay.
You're 0 for 3, hot shot.
I'm just a bit rusty, that's all. Do you know I haven't spoken to another man since we last did this podcast? Do you know that?
You got your dad?
Except my dad, but you know, I couldn't wait to see you today. Is that all right?
And you ruined it.
I know. I'm going to say 450 million.
398.
No.
No, it's not 10%. Okay. Not even close.
Well, you're the finance man.
Yeah. Okay.
You're the numbers guy.
Rotten Tomatoes.
Critics.
Critics. All agreed.
77.
71.
Fuck.
And audience?
74.
69, dude.
Within 5.
Okay, we'll give you within 5 for Rotten Tomatoes. How about that? It doesn't have to be 10%.
Yeah, I thought that was always the rule, no?
Yeah.
Whatever. We make the rules. Yeah.
TC and Paramount, their first choice to helm Mission Impossible 3? My man, David Fincher.
Ooh.
The Finch man.
Imagine that.
I do. Every day. He just had a big hit with Panic Room and seemed interested in coming aboard despite his horrible experience working on a previous franchise, Alien 3, if you're asking.
Oh.
Yeah, apparently he was ready to quit making movies altogether after that due to studio interference.
Wow, and he did Panic Room too.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, man. Check out his filmography.
The Finch man is... I tried The Killer.
Yeah. My number 2. Oh, I won't say.
Oh. Spoiler alert.
Number 2. So far, at the moment, I'm not finished watching stuff. Number 2 movie of the year for me so far.
And so can I just as a quick interlude, are you going to record a solo cast
for
on
top
your
10.
Top 10 movies yeah. of the year?
It's going to have clips and everything.
Ooh, the real deal.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Okay, great.
However, Fincher dropped out after having a really cool and violent idea turned away, did not mesh with Paramount's ideals.
So
organ trafficking. Like, he came up with this cool idea, he thought, like...
Okay.
It was, like, organ trafficking was apparently involved in the pitch he had lined
up. What's wrong with that?
It's not that... I don't think they wanted their Mission Impossible franchise going this
okay.
way.
Okay,
like, and this is, like, 2003, because they were, like... Mission Impossible 2 was such a big hit.
Yeah.
They were, like, we want to keep the ball rolling with this
right,
stuff.
Right, right, right.
However, Paramount wasted little time in replacing him...
Wow.
...with Joe Carnahan... You might remember
Hello.
A little movie called Narc.
I do not.
Cruise had loved his gritty crime drama.
Wait,
Narc. Carnahan signed on in February 2003 and started to develop a script with Dan Gilroy. Ever heard
you
of
say
him?
Say these names like I'm supposed to be like.
Nightcrawler.
Who?
Okay. He directed Nightcrawler.
Okay, yeah.
And I tell you, he's doing great work on the Disney Plus series Andor.
Okay.
I'm not a Star Wars man, but I love that show. It is fucking fantastic.
Ooh.
Some of the elements about that show. How do you get ahead working in the Empire? So it's like I'm an officer of the Empire and I want to get a promotion.
I want to be in Darth Vader's chair in 5 years.
Pretty much, like, and I'm like, yeah, okay. It's so well written that I'm like, this guy's trying to climb the corporate ladder by sabotaging her fucking mission or whatever. It's
interesting,
good.
Interesting.
He's a great screenwriter.
Okay.
It was described as a punk rock version of the first movie and distanced itself as far as possible from MI2. Which he described as a parody of a spy movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was, though.
Yeah, I mean, it was very silly, but entertaining.
Yeah, it was.
Carnahan's version involved privatization of the military and a character inspired by the Oklahoma City bomber. But as development proceeded, his vision did not mesh with the studios again. His version would be closer to...
Now, when you say the studios, sorry, is this Tom Cruise?
No, it's Paramount
okay,
as well.
Okay.
It's Tom Cruise. It's his thing, but like... We'll get to it. Tom Cruise.
Like, Tom Cruise. But if Tom Cruise wanted something and the studio didn't, who would get it?
Now Tom Cruise. For Mission Impossible, now Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Because this is his thing.
Yeah.
And he's made them a lot of money with it. At this point in time, not so much, right, because there's a few things we'll talk about that were happening in his personal life.
Oh.
He's already been divorced. And
what I have is a romantic abnormality.
Pretty much. He said his version would be closer to the 70s paranoia dramas like Marathon Man and more of a $50 million movie, oh, as opposed to the $150 million behemoth it ended up being. The studio ended up bringing back our boy, Robert Towne, to write the scripts again, like he was brought back in the first two movies. This guy's just on retainer.
This guy's like, what took you so long?
I'm listening.
Yeah.
He rewrote the script, and Carlin stated he couldn't get on board with that, saying it was uninspired and more the same from part two.
Ooh.
Carlin, you know what?
There's a lot of back and forth on this then.
Yeah. It came out in 2006. They started looking at it like at the back end of 2002, like,
right.
So
fucking hell.
Hence the budget as well.
But it looked like they actually, because like, whereas two looked disjointed a little bit.
Well, we'll get to it.
Okay,
I told you, I have a dossier.
Okay,
casting had already started as the development process started to falter. Kenneth Branagh was hired to play the villain, along with Scarlett Johansson, and Carrie Ann Moss was slated to be the female lead.
Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
2006.
No, 2004 even. Oof. Or three?
Lost in Translation.
Just after Lost in Translation. Oof. That's why she was like hired.
It's terrible. I'm a terrible person.
However, they all had to drop out as production went back to square one after the Carlin's departure. Rumor has it that TC was depressed that this couldn't get going. Oh. And somebody gave him a pile of DVDs to watch. The TV show Alias. He had binged all of it and loved what he had seen and wanted to get J.J. Abrams on board.
So he was. Someone gave him a box set of Alias.
I think
because he was depressed at Mission Impossible.
I think
3
he was like, just like he's kind of depressed, and he ended up binge watching Alias.
Okay.
And like he loved it, and he was like, "This is what I want. This is what I want." Mission Impossible. Yeah, I know. Like
he's always getting people. He's like he became a big fan of blah blah blah. I'm like, I can't even imagine Tom Cruise watching this.
Tom Cruise watches everything.
Does he?
Like his favorite, like some of his favorite stuff are musicals. He's,
God, he's so fucking good, isn't he though? Like we're only talking about him in work today because they saw me looking at watching clips on my break.
What are you doing? No.
Don't feed it to me like that. Yeah. They were like, and then the topic of Tom Cruise came up and they were saying that, like, I was saying, like, I don't care about anything he does in his private life. He's just so fucking good. And then they were saying about how he couldn't get work after the Katie Holmes jumping on the couch thing.
We'll get to
Am I breathing on your fur? Okay,
yeah, we'll get to it.
Okay, come on.
So he got JJ on board, and Paramount had planned to release MI3 in the summer of 2004, but had to push it back as JJ was in the midst of finalizing his work on a little TV show called Lost.
Ooh.
Hence why he only directs the pilot and doesn't really do anything else on the show. He's exec producer because he's off doing Mission Impossible. For like the
money
next couple
for all
of years.
Rope, isn't it?
I mean, you he know? Created it. He's one of the creators of Lost.
God, isn't that that's the gig to get? Create something and then just get your residual checks.
Yeah, it's like you win an Emmy, like go upstairs. Yes, hello, hello, exactly.
I'd like to thank this person. Yeah. Like, I don't even know you, man.
you were on this? You worked on this show?
I created it, motherfucker.
All right. Yeah. So Abrams. They planned to go back again in 2005, but Abrams got the green light to rewrite the whole script with
a
couple of Alias alum, Robert Orci and Alex Kurtzman. Philip Seymour Hoffman, Larry Fishburne, and Michelle Monaghan all signed on in July 2005, and it hit theatres in summer 2006, 2 years after the initial target date, and 6 years total after Mission Impossible 2.
Lawrence Fishburne in this?
Oh, yeah. Is Lawrence Fishburne in this? He's the boss of the Impossible Mission Force.
I didn't. Okay. Okay. Carry on.
He's Billy Crudup's boss.
Billy Crudup's in this?
Yeah, I knew it. You fucking prick. The box office was seemingly affected by a couple of PR nightmares. that TC was in the midst of.
Ah,
the couch jumping incident of 2005 had damaged his rep, and the Trapped in the Closet South Park episode really had not painted him well, because apparently, allegedly, TC had contacted Viacom to pull the episode after initially aired. And as a response to that, many groups were petitioning the boycott of the movie. I think it was just he was the, you know.
So I thought that South Park thing was like, oh yeah, like it's funny. I wouldn't have thought that he himself.
Well, he has denied
suffered
it.
As a result.
I think it's that interview. Remember that interview where it was like, you're crossing the line. Yeah,
I was only like. Even that, like, that's the intensity.
You know what you're doing.
It's like Peter, you're crossing the line.
I think it might be that interview, but there's one where he's like,
own
he
it.
Basically
they
says,
"They don't want to know. You want to know."
He basically says, "He's like, people say I did that. Like, I'm too busy. I'm working. I have my family, my kids." He's like, "I don't watch this stuff." So he denies it.
Right. But he did.
Yeah. Somebody did.
Yeah.
Fucking who's your man?
But isn't it weird?
Miscavige did or somebody.
Yeah,
like, you know, like.
But isn't it weird that, like, the couch jumping incident, like, when you think about it, is not. Like, it's a bit odd, like, behavior, but, like.
I remember reading an article that it was, like, all those clips, you know, the way they put together, and they're, like, shot over the course of, like, 3 hours.
Yeah.
And they're, like, all different parts of the time. And it was almost. I remember them reading, somebody writing and saying that he was doing it to try and get the crowd back up energy wise,
right?
And it just comes off like you're mental,
yeah.
You know, like it was like this never actually, the way you look at it, it never actually happened that way, but put together like that, like
even at the time, I remember thinking, like, yeah, it's weird, but like he does seem like he's in love.
But people are like, he's lost his goddamn mind, like, what has happened to this man? Like, yeah. You know, he's gone off the deep end,
wow,
and like. He has. He's leveled it out now.
Mission Impossible, the franchise, really saved him, though, would you say?
Well, the next one did. Right. Because it's a fallow period after this. Like, this one, you know, it's a 2.5 multiplier, but, like, it's a good...
What's that mean?
It means it made 2.5 times its budget.
Okay, excuse me.
Yeah. Okay? But compared to 2, and even compared to, like, the... Like, critics liked it fine, but it was kind of, I remember being, like, every time I'm like... Oh yeah, this movie. They talk about it like it's TV,
right?
Like because J.J. Abrams directs it.
And okay,
it kind of looks like TV, and like you'll have to tell me which parts you've seen. Did you see the opening?
Yeah, I fucking did.
It's probably my favorite opening in the whole series.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
I was my floored. I was like, that. I mean, I don't know if you've got more.
No, that's it. Really, okay. Like,
it was not only one of the best openings of. Any movie that we've watched on the podcast. I think it's one of my favourite openings that I've ever seen.
So fucking good.
I'm like, straight away, I'm like, I was looking, I was like, I actually rewound it. I'm like, no, it has like the Paramount, or whatever it is.
The Paramount logo, yeah.
And I was like, no, this is the opening. I'm like, did I miss something? And I'm like, oh. And it's like, first of all, he's acting the shit out of, I don't know.
PSH?
Well, they're both acting the shit. But I mean, like, Cruise is acting in that. I thought it was great. And then when I seen it was Philip Seymour Hoffman, I was like, even in the minute that, like within the first minute, I was like, now that's a good bad guy. The difference compared to 2,
where
you get this schlub, this nobody. He's the best bad guy.
He's the best bad guy of the series.
Yeah.
He is, like,
and you know what? What I love about it is like, he doesn't try and match Cruise. No. For energy, you know what
he's
I mean.
Different, like
he's completely like. There was a scene later on where it's like the bridge scene where he gets rescued in the helicopter and all that, and it's like Cruise is like all frantic and trying to, and you just see like he just kind of looks and then he kind of goes back to, you know, like
he's a businessman.
He looks at the helicopter like, yeah, I'm good. Like it's not like so long. It's not one
better
dimension.
Luck next time.
Yeah, it's just like he looks and then he's back looking into the chopper to discuss stuff. And I'm like oof.
The scene where, you know, they're on the... We can jump around, like...
We're going to have to.
Yeah. But when he's, you know, he's interrogating him in the plane.
Yeah.
Did you see that bit?
Where
he, like, lowers him down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like... But at the start, he's like, do you have a girlfriend, wife? And he's like, where's the... You know, all the, like, Tom Cruise, like, he's so smug or whatever. He's like, what's her name? He's like, because I'm going to kill her and then I'm going to kill you. And you're like, he's like Tom Cruise is so like confident at the time. But of course we know, yeah, like he's unflappable. And even then, like, he's hanging him out, like, and he's like, what's your name? Yeah. He just keeps saying, like, what's your, you know, and he's hanging him out. And then like Ving Rhames like, Ethan. And then he pulls him up and he's like,
Yeah,
he's like, well, he's like, Ethan, you know, you're like, fuck off. Like,
you know, like, I have to tell you, you do a very good Philip. Your impressions, if I may say,
fucking
Terry,
yes,
are pretty fucking good.
All right, man. Work on them. Me in the mirror at home.
What's your name? Yeah. What's your name? Like, Terry, come to bed.
Faye? Yeah. What's your name?
Did Faye watch this with you at all?
No, she has seen all of them up until the latest one with me. We did a rewatch a couple of years ago when six.
Right.
I think I just bought. See, I have them all on Blu-ray, bar Dead Reckoning.
So you have no problems watching it.
Absolutely not.
Fuck's sake. I'm so fucking annoyed. You know what? I'm going to watch it. So next episode, we're going to be talking about 3 again and 4. Because I really wanted to see it. I was like, I've never had a situation before where...
Talk to me through... So you see the opening.
Yeah.
Do you see the mission when they go to Berlin?
It kind of gets fuzzy after that, to be honest. Yeah. Like, it was on... But I wasn't really. I couldn't watch. I couldn't be like, I got this movie to watch for the podcast tomorrow. When she's crying, and then Johnny's got some sort of infection, or I don't know.
How about the house party bit?
No.
The bit where he's like having his engagement party.
No.
Where he's like in the suburbs. It's like the next scene after the opening.
No, I didn't see it.
Oh, and there's like, it's essentially Tom Cruise as Tom Cruise. Like,
is this like a True Lies sort of thing?
100%. Yeah. And the bridge. That same bridge as True Lies.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh! Fucking yes!
Because, like, the whole thing is...
I'm so excited to watch this movie.
He's like, you know, he's like, I work for the Department of Transport. And he's like, traffic has a flow, it has a beat. Like, your man is like, Greg Gunberg is like, okay. Like, he's like, you want another drink? Okay. And he's gone. And then, like, the two, like, his wife's friends are like, he's like, I'd marry him. You know, Grunberg's like, this guy's crazy. Aaron Paul plays his brother-in-law. Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Can I tell you about the scenes that
you
I have
jump,
seen?
Let's go with you, okay? Like,
okay, I'll tell you who I... Even in the scenes that I've seen, I can't stand.
Jonathan Rhys-Meyers?
Yeah. I can't fucking stand
him. He's not back. He doesn't come back.
He's so of the time 2006, isn't he? Like, and I was a big Tudors fan back in the day.
It was hot. Like, Tudors was big, like, you know?
He's a good-looking guy. You know what? Like... I don't know why. Like, I love seeing Irish people in movies. Like, Barry Keoghan and obviously, like, Cillian Murphy and... Keoghan?
Mm.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Does everyone say Keoghan, though?
It should be Keoghan. He has said it.
Fair enough. Fair dues. Mm-hmm. But there's something about this guy where I was just kind of like, shut up.
Because he's a bit of an arse. You know what I mean?
His face more than that.
Yeah, but...
Like,
yeah, the face...
Like, I don't like to hate on Irish actors in big roles, but, like... Every time he talked or every time he was on camera, I was like, shut up.
Yeah.
A scene that I really enjoyed was...
Did you get the Vatican?
Breaking into the Vatican. Yeah. Fucking brilliant.
Yeah. So, the two of them in Italian.
I thought, like, a big plot hole in that is, like, they're talking so much Italian to Italians that, like, surely they're going to know, like, you're not Italian. Yeah.
Momento. Like, is that right?
Buongiorno, padre.
Yeah. You know,
like, excuse me? The whole padre. Scene. First of all, the whole scene where, like, he throws the thing up and he just, it's so smooth the way it's pulling up. He just wall walks up and then he's up on the thing. Is there a reason why he's like, Humpty Dumpty's on the wall?
And then, like, he's in.
Oh, that's like,
it's like, I'm in, like. Yeah, because like, then Jonathan Rhys-Meyers is like, okay, great, and like drives off.
Okay.
Like, and that was the other thing that they were saying they wanted it to be a team movie again, you know, like,
yeah, actually,
as opposed
yeah,
to like
two
wasn't,
was it?
It's Luther and that fucking, all right, Ethan, hello,
I like after we talk about someone that you're always like, he didn't come back.
Yeah. Very few of them do. Simon Pegg is in every movie after this.
Right. I really liked him, and I liked his whole rabbit's foot explanation.
That was good.
And that
was
good.
Did you see the bit at the end with him?
No.
Where like Tom Cruise is running?
No.
Oh man. No. And like that's the scene that's like, oh, like he's popping. Like,
right.
And that kind of gets him back. Because it's like is a scene where he's like on the phone. He's like, how do I get here, Benji?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you're a wanted fugitive, Ethan. You can't be doing this. You know,
yeah,
all this stuff. And then he's like, great, I've just, there's my career. I'm going to be deported. And he's just basically like, he's perk up. Like, yeah, when he's doing his thing. And like, it tested really well. And then Tom Cruise is like, that's my guy.
Great. Right?
And he's in everyone.
Good for him.
So, yeah.
And to be honest, every time I see Simon Pegg in something, I'm always like, hey, there he is. You know, like, I never think like, what's he doing there?
Less, I don't know if I'm less fond of him now.
Really?
I think just because like, he's kind of,
has he done something?
He's just serious in real life.
Is he?
Yeah. Is he? Like, he's like sober. And I don't mean that a knock, but he just seems like, no, like, I know, like, Robert Downey Jr. is sober and like, he's like the life of the party. Yeah, but like, yeah, this guy is just like, he just kind of in like, I've seen him online doing like, you know,
he just isn't that interesting.
Yeah. And you're like, okay. Yeah. Like, when he's doing the press junkets, he's like fine. He's having good chemistry. But like, I've seen him do interviews and stuff and I'm like, oh, you're not.
You're boring.
Yeah. Where's the guy from space? Where's the pop culture guy?
Big, like, Train. Yeah. That was you.
Tom Benderson.
I believe you. You're joking. What a wanker.
We all wanted Tom Henderson.
Oh no, I don't. Oh god.
Yes.
Podcast is unhinged.
So I also, when they break into the Vatican, right?
Loved
like,
it.
Did you, the mask work?
How did they get it?
Unreal, so, like, isn't it, like,
how did they, where he's putting it on him,
the eyes.
And then he's just like, he is him.
Like, they,
how do they do that? That's Terrence and Six CGI.
They switch it. So when it goes behind the thing, like, it's Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Putting on a Philip Seymour Hoffman mask?
No, like, they put the mask on.
Because it looks like it's only at the last second that he just presses in the eye part and then
it
just is
Philip Seymour. And, like, the mask is, like, CG, you know what I mean? Like, and then they're doing that to like tighten it up or whatever like that. Like,
it's fucking good.
It's deadly,
really,
man.
Good CGI. I was looking, I was like, and I actually rewound it. I was like, how the fuck did they do that?
And how good is Hoffman at being Cruise?
Like, yeah, great.
When he's like jumping over these things, like climbing through the fucking, like, the tower or whatever like that. Like,
you know, I see a thing get used all the time online, and it's like people don't realize it's from, is it that one of those Nicolas Cage movies? What was that Philip Seymour Hoffman movie? Or the movie that Philip Seymour Hoffman is like the mattress guy or...
Yeah, it's PTA.
Yeah, PTA, yeah.
Punch Drunk Love.
Yeah, that's the one. And the scene, the deleted scene where he falls off the thing onto the thing. And I see people like, you know, I've seen it on Twitter be like, found footage of, you know, but like, it's a serious, like, you know, oh, some 90s thing. And everyone, and then in the comments, like, this is from whatever movie. But I think a lot of people have seen that clip and think it's some sort of like blooper from a real ad or something like that.
Faye sent me a thing for this movie called Force Majeure.
Yeah.
And it's like the premise of the movie is a husband and wife go on like a family ski holiday, and a fucking like avalanche comes down, and they're sitting like out at a chalet. And like, the avalanche comes down and it looks like it's going to like take everybody out. And your man like just like leaves his wife and kids there and like runs up. But like, it doesn't come anywhere near them. And then he has to like go back and like sit down. And like, that clip was on Instagram. And Faye was like, look at the comments. And it's like, bro's getting divorced tomorrow. I can't believe he left. And then like, somebody's like, this is from a film.
Idiots. Saps. So many idiots. And I tell you, don't even get me started on the fucking blue ticks. Spamming the fucking comment section on completely unrelated memes. Anyway,
the bit in the bathroom.
Yeah, really good. Yeah, really, like, good. I love that. Like, he's like, 10 seconds. Because he can't talk until he gets his voice.
And Luther is good in this movie. I think this might be my favorite Luther.
He's got a lot more to do, and it like, seems, in this one. Like,
he looks good, first of all.
Yeah, he does look good. Doesn't he?
And like, he's it's like the next few appearances, you're like, oh, like, Ving Rhames is 60, like, you know at one point, at one of the movies, like, Ethan, I can't go with you, I'm gonna be over here doing it from like hacking or whatever. It's like, he's just gone for the rest of the movie, and you're like, oh, he didn't want to get on the train or whatever. Like,
I always think of Ving Rhames as, what was that movie,
Dawn of the Dead? Fuck you.
How the fuck did you know that that's exactly where it was going?
I know, we talked about it before. Where he's like, we need your help. He's like, fuck you.
It's like the pause. Like, fuck you. What a delivery.
So that's great. And then like you get the whole, like the literally the next scene is they're on the plane, and then you get a great action scene on the bridge.
The bridge is great, and I actually laughed out loud where he's like he's running full clip, and then Ving Rhames is like, there's a whatever scene. And
he's like, I know.
He's like, I know. Because he's running. Like the thing that I wasn't sure about was like, first of all, like it looked great. Like even like the missiles and stuff hitting.
The big trailer bit was like him running and getting like blown to the side. The big like trailer. It looked great. That's the money shot.
It looked great. And just crews running, telling people to get down.
The other thing you never really see in these movies is like them with the public, because they're spot, you know, they're not like
not out in the open.
So it's like they're like you know, helping people. She's like, don't leave me.
Luther's
like, I got you, don't worry.
I remember thinking that, because I remember thinking like someone got shot, some woman got shot, and then he's like, oh, something over there, and Ving Rhames like, I'm on it. And I'm thinking like,
the Avengers.
Like in my head, like the cynic in me was like, what do they care? Like, it's like a bigger problems over here. Like, you know, that gets to her eventually.
He's getting away. So like,
I feel like that's all I saw.
So you didn't see then when like they take his wife, essentially?
No, I know what happens because I read it, but
And Lawrence Fishburne and Billy Crudup. So like Billy Crudup is,
didn't think he was in anything.
This is him coming back. He was persona non grata in Hollywood for a while. I think he left, like, his wife, who was like 8 months pregnant. He was also like an actress. Like, he left her. And people were like, this guy's a piece of shit. And then, like, he comes back. He's in this. So the whole thing is he's Cruise's handler. Like, he's the guy that, like, tries to get him out of retirement and stuff like that.
Because
we haven't talked about it. The reason why he is doing these missions, he's retired at the start, is his, like, the only agent he ever passed for field duty gets killed by Davian. And it's actually fucking, I can't believe you missed this part. Because she gets a thing implanted in her head. There's a charge in her head. So he's like, they're in a helicopter at one point. He's like, I have to do a defibrillator on you to, like, short out the charge, but I'll bring you back. And it's like 10 seconds. And all this shit happens. Yeah. Like 10 seconds, like, it's coming. And she's like, thank you, Ethan. And he's like, no problem. And it's like, then it just goes, like a little thing. And like, you just see her eyes go in different directions. And she's like, and Cruz is like, huh? And like, everybody's like, well, do it. Because it's charged. She's like, no, she's dead. Like, and it's just like really disturbing. Wow. It's Felicity. Remember Felicity?
No.
The TV show?
No.
Kerry Russell?
No.
Prick. So like,
it's supposed to be so frustrating.
So just so frustrating. But like, they think Cruz is like in on it with Davian, or like they have him arrested back at IMF. And this is the only Mission Impossible movie that has like an IMF headquarters, which is like fucking Iron Man, like, it's, you know, glass walls everywhere. Yeah. Like, because the whole thing is, they're supposed
to have some good funding for this.
They're supposed to be an offshoot of the CIA, but it's also supposed to be like, you don't exist.
Yeah. So the most glamorous looking
building. And like, Lawrence Fishburne is fucking amazing. And like,
this is when he was Lawrence.
Larry's
more 90s.
Larry, I think his last one,
Boys in the Hood, Larry.
Is that Larry or is he Lawrence?
I think he's Larry in that.
Yeah. And then since then he moved to Lawrence.
After Matrix, really.
Before Matrix, I'd say. Maybe
Matrix
Deep Cover.
Maybe I don't know.
Yeah. But he like is like chewing out Crudup and Cruz because your one got killed. And like, later on in the movie, he's like, has him, they have him in a Hannibal Lecter mask at one point. Like,
brilliant.
Anyway, it turns out like at the end, Crudup is working with
the mole
that's been feeding them information. That's how he's always one step ahead,
of course.
Like, Cruz ends up killing Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah,
like, they get into a fight. Like, he's like doing this thing, he's like, oh, my head, and like Philip Seymour Hoffman is beating the shit out of him, and he's holding his head like this, and then he realizes, wait, and like starts using the elbows to like fight, and like, you're like, oh god, like and then
even
like
hearing about it.
He has to like make a defibrillator.
Yeah,
a homemade defibrillator. It's fucking deadly. Like,
I'm watching it. Yeah, I'm watching it. So I'm watching good. It for next week.
But the weird thing is, it ends like a sitcom. Like, it ends like a TV show where it's like him and your one are walking away, and they're like, and it just kind of goes to black. Like, and like Faye's like, what the fuck was that? Like, and I was like, yeah, I don't really know.
It's like that Sopranos edit. Did you see that thing where it was like, for the life of me, I don't understand why they did this edit. And it was some like as Carmela's walking away. Yeah. Kind of like a, the most basic iMovie, like side pan to the next scene.
So out of character.
And it's frozen. And it's, I'm like, what the fuck was that? But look, tell me this. What would you give it out of?
I'm going to give it a... I'm going to give it an 8.5 because every time I watch this movie, I'm like, oh yeah, this is like the kind of, it's better than 2, but not really that good. And then I watch it and I'm like, this fucking thing.
Everything that I saw in it,
it
fucking
zips,
brilliant.
It moves at a clip. It's so fucking good. And Cruise is great in it. Philip Seymour Hoffman is great in it. Crudup is good as being this little wimpy.
Yeah.
And when he reveals himself to be a bad guy, you're like, oh, you piece of shit.
Yeah.
Fishburne is great at chewing everybody out.
Nice.
He's like, one of his lines is like, this is my line reading. I'll tell you what I won't lose sleep over, and I do love my sleep.
That's pretty good. I can picture him saying that.
And he's like, I know chocolate is bad for you, but I'll eat my fair share.
There's no reason for him to throw in these little comedy slants.
It's great, because they're trying to answer him back, and he's just cutting them down every time.
Who would get your Ed Harris excellence in acting?
Philip Seymour Hoffman, I think.
Of course,
Cruise is a close second. He's very good in this. He's very good because he's like normally Ethan is kind of not that flappable.
Yeah,
and in this he's like.
From the first minute,
there's a good 50 minutes in the movie where he's like, oh, he's cocky Tom Cruise, he's got it covered.
Yeah.
And then as soon as your one gets taken, and he realizes that Davian is quite the match for him, that he's like, what do you want? I'll give you what you want. You have to. He's doing Jerry Maguire at one point, help me help you. And then he's like, I'll kill you, son of a bitch.
I swear to God, I'll kill you. Great fucking intro though. I'm so glad that I didn't skip that part.
That I didn't skip that.
Well, I didn't skip, but you know what I mean.
So frustrating.
Apologies, listeners. Well, look, let's get our plugs in.
Yeah. Where can the good people find us?
Excuse me.
Where can the good people find us?
Instagram, What's So Great About Pod, and Twitter at WSGA Pod.
Mm-hmm.
Where else can they find us, Derek?
You can find us over on Patreon behind the paywall for the low fee of €5 a month. You get access to all our back catalogue of miniseries. What's So Great About the MCU? What's So Great About 90s Action? What's So Great About Ryan Gosling? What's So Great About Big Willy's Flops, aka Will Smith's Bad Movies, and a bunch of other stuff. I just threw up an old solo cast because we were off for the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So I just talked about what I've been watching over the Christmas period and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of great stuff there. You get me and Andy doing a bunch of top fives, pitching movies to each other. It's a good time.
It's a great time.
Come join us.
There's at least about, 120 episodes unlocked. Straight away when you sign up, and it's a fiver a month, and you get at least 2 episodes a month, as Terry said. Our top fives are some of my favourite things that we do, and it's just a good time. We also answer questions, give you advice, relationship advice, life advice.
Mm-hmm.
Who wouldn't want that?
Two very qualified
people.
All right. If you can't afford low fee of €5 a month, well, you can help us out in another way by giving us a rating and review. Now, Andy.
Yes.
In this movie,
yes,
there are 4 members of the Mission Impossible team. But I don't want a 4-star review. I want a 5-star review.
Yes. How does he do it?
Not proud of that one. Not at all. But we will be back next week.
And I will have watched the movie. And this one. Okay.
Nobody cares about that now.
Blame my kids, all right?
Yeah.
You know?
Blame you.
Nah, blame my kids.
Blame
They're
you.
Not
You're
here.
All weekend.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But I didn't have time then.
You did.
I did.
You
but,
did.
You know.
Fucking prick.
I'm more annoyed, personally. Forget the listeners. I'm annoyed that I didn't see it.
You're not more annoyed than me.
No, well, that's new. I knew it wouldn't be. And I was thinking, I was genuinely thinking, I'm like, do I just pretend that I've seen it?
No.
And just talk about the scenes that I've seen and steer the conversation that way? I'm like, no. It's just easier to tell the truth, you know?
Where was you watching at 7 o'clock in the morning in your car? That's what I want to know.
I was in traffic. And if it was on, I tell you what, if it was on Channel 4, No problem. I could have watched it on my commute.
You can watch it on your commute.
What?
You can watch it on your commute.
I couldn't find it.
I'll give it. Just be up front with me. I'll give it to you.
Okay.
I'll give it a link. It works fine.
Okay, fine. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Well, look, on that note.
Enjoy, Bonnie. Enjoy some Jim Steinman. We don't know what it's going to be. Got to be Big Jim.
There'll be a big Jim Steinman track coming right now.
There were nights when the wind was so cold that my body froze in bed if I just listened to it right outside the window. There were days when the sun was so cruel that all the tears turned to dust and I just knew my eyes were drying up forever. I finished crying in the instant that you left, and I can't remember where or when or how. And I banished every memory you and I had ever made. But when you touch me like this and you hold me like that, I just have to admit that it's all coming back to me. When I touch you like this and I hold you like that, it's so hard to believe, but it's all coming back to me. It's all coming back, it's all coming back to me now. There were moments of gold and there were flashes of light. There were things I'd never do again, but then they'd always seem to right. There were nights of endless pleasure. It was more than any loss in love. Baby, baby, if I kiss you like this and if you whisper like that, it was lost long ago, but it's all coming back to me. If you want me like, if you need me like that, it was dead long ago, but it's all coming back to me. It's so hard to resist, and it's all coming back to me. I can barely recall, but it's all coming back to me now. Threats and hollow lies. And whenever you try to hurt me, I just hurt you even worse and so much deeper. There were hours that just went on for days, when alone at last we'd count up all the chances that will last to us forever. But you were history with the slamming of the door, and I made myself so strong again somehow, and I never wasted any of my time on you since then. But if I touch you like this and if you kiss me like that, it was so long ago, but it's all coming back to me. If you touch me like this and if I kiss you like that, it was gone with the wind, but it's all coming back to me. It's all coming back, it's all coming back to me now. There were moments of gold and there were flashes of light. There were things we could never do again, but then it always seemed right. There were nights of endless pleasure. It was more than all your loss in love. Baby, forgive you all that. We forgive and forget, and it's all coming back to me. When you see me like this, and when I see you like that, we see just what we want to see, all coming back to me. The flesh and the fantasies all coming back to me. I can barely recall, but it's all coming back to me. It's all coming back to me now. And when you kiss me like this, it's all coming back to me now. And when I touch you like that, it's all coming back to me now.